Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In the first five verses, the Apostle Paul has taken up the subject of judging ministers. That's what the Corinthians were doing. They were judging ministers, judging Paul, a minister of the gospel, judging Apollos, a minister of the gospel, judging Peter, a minister of the gospel, and no doubt judging others as well. And Paul says, you are judging very poorly. You are drawing very bad conclusions, and your wrong judgments are causing you to cultivate divisions within the church, and that's bad. That's wrong. That in itself ought to tell you that something's wrong with what's going on here with your understanding, with your practice. And so, therefore, to correct this, Paul says, you need, first of all, to have a proper view of ministers. You can't judge them properly if you don't really understand who they are and how they function, what they are supposed to be doing. So you've got to have a proper view of ministers, not a description of a minister, not an understanding of a minister according to your own thoughts or according to your background or culture or tradition or anything like that, but according to the truth of God's Word. You need to understand what a minister of the gospel is and what it is he is supposed to be doing. So first of all, you've got to have a proper view of ministers, and secondly, you have to have a proper view of judgments. You can't judge properly if you don't have a proper view of judgments. So those are the two things that Paul is dealing with in the opening verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we've already worked through many of these ideas. We're coming really down to the end of this passage very quickly. But we need to get back to it, and so thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, July 6th, and thank you for supporting us by your financial gift so that we can pay for airtime to teach God's Word on the station. You've got to have a proper view of ministers. Let a man so consider us as stewards of Christ, or rather ministers, servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. A minister is a servant of Christ. He is a servant, a slave, really, but of Christ. He's under Christ's direction. He must do what Christ assigns him to do. So please understand what that is. He is serving the congregation, but he's serving the congregation in the way that Christ tells him to, in the way Christ designed for ministers to serve the congregation, with the assignment that Christ has given to him. So you can't evaluate him according to assignments that are not given to him by Christ. You can't give him assignments from yourself, from the congregation, from traditional ideas about what he ought to be doing. If they are not assignments that have been given to him by Christ, how can you possibly judge him correctly if you don't even know what his God-given assignment is? The only way you can properly evaluate his performance is to see if he is faithfully carrying out the assignment given to him by Christ. If he is, then you'll have to acknowledge that he's doing a good job. If he's not doing what Christ told him to do, even if he's doing many things that please the congregation, if they're not the assignments that were given to him by Christ, then he's a failure. People are not the ones who decide what the minister should do and therefore whether he's doing a good job or not because he pleases them in what he's doing. Christ is the one who gave him the assignment. And therefore, the only way you can properly judge him is how faithfully is he carrying out the assignment given to him by Christ, or another way of putting it, how faithfully is carrying out the duties that are spelled out for him in the Bible, in the Word of God. A proper view of ministers, and then secondly, a proper view of judgments. And as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, Paul goes to great lengths in this passage to explain that human judgments are very inadequate. It's a very minor thing, very minor consideration, what you Corinthians think of me. It would even be a minor consideration what a court of law would think of me. And of course, we can't really imagine ministers being evaluated by a secular court, but Paul has been hauled into court several times. He has been judged in municipal courts. He has been judged in Jewish courts. He has been judged before the Sanhedrin. He has been judged before courts of various kinds. He's going to be judged even more greatly by both of these courts in the days to come after writing this epistle, as he'll be hauled before the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem in the closing chapters of the book of Acts, and then eventually he's going to make his way to Rome to be tried in Caesar's court. So yes, Paul is speaking from experience here when he talks about being judged in a secular court, and not surprisingly, secular courts oftentimes don't come up with the right verdict either, because how do they judge a minister of the gospel? What criteria do they use? What is it that they're looking for? So, but with me, verse 3, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Human judgments are inadequate, whether by you, the Corinthians, whether by courts of law, or even by myself. I can't judge myself properly. Surely Paul should be able to judge himself better than the Gentile courts, or even the Jewish courts. Surely he should. Surely Paul should be able to judge himself better than the Corinthian church that is using wrong standards of judgment, but Paul says, I could get it wrong too. Human judgment is inadequate. That's no doubt one reason why Christ in the Sermon on the Mount warned us against judging others. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, it shall be turned to you again. Or a way of saying that is, with whatever standard you use to judge others, you're going to be judged by the same standard. Be careful. Be careful. If you judge others by a wrong standard, by a human standard that is not a standard of God's word, then don't be unhappy if others judge you the same way. That's what you've been doing. Why should you expect yourself to be treated any differently? But you've got to be careful about human judgments, even judging yourself. We are all defective in our ability to perceive truth completely. Christians, of course, can understand truth better than unconverted people, but even we don't see everything perfectly and clearly. We still have blind spots. We still have misconceptions. We still have prejudices. We still have areas of our lives that are not completely aligned to the Word of God. So that's why Paul says it's not even an accurate judgment for me to judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself. I have a clear conscience. Some of you are being very critical of me. But the areas that you are being critical of me, my conscience tells me that I'm not guilty of those things. You're wrong. Yet I am not justified by this. That's what my conscience tells me. But I could be wrong. You might be right. I don't think so. But you might be right. But listen, the only judgment that matters is the Lord. Human judgments are premature. Verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time, before the day of Christ's return, before the day when everything is open to inspection, when all of the hidden things will be made plain, when there will be no secrets, the day when extended consequences are finalized. Don't judge anything before then, which is really another way of saying, don't judge until you know all the facts. Now, I back up here, and I'm going to have to, because of time, then we'll come back to this concept a little bit more tomorrow. It's clear that we must make some judgments regarding ministers and other things. When you move to another town and you need to look for a church, you're going to have to evaluate pastors of various churches. You're going to have to. That's something you must do. You would be derelict in your spiritual responsibility if you refuse to do that. It's not my place to judge. Well, you've got to make some evaluations here. When it comes to what kinds of ministers of the gospel that you're going to help, that you're going to support financially, you better be making some judgments so that you don't end up supporting those who are enemies of the gospel and become partakers of their evil deeds, as John warns us about in his second epistle. But you better go slow, you better go carefully, you better be cautious about these hasty, critical judgments, that critical spirit that many people bring in their evaluation of faithful ministers of the gospel. Just remember, you don't know everything. Don't judge things before the time. Christ will judge comprehensively. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, verse 5, until the Lord comes. The Lord comes. And he's going to bring things to light. He will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. His judgment will be comprehensive. He knows the deeds that are hidden to men. He knows the secrets that motivate each heart. And therefore, Christ's verdicts are correct and they are final. Again, verse 5, then each one's praise will come from God. Paul evidently has faithful ministers in view with that statement. But on that day, they will receive God's praise, even if they lacked much praise from men. But they will receive God's praise. But he doesn't mention the other side, but it's taught elsewhere, that unfaithful ministers will receive no praise, no reward, and may possibly even receive eternal condemnation, because some unfaithful ministers are unfaithful because they are not even truly converted. So keep these things in mind about your judging activities. And we'll come back to this, Lord willing, tomorrow and wrap it all up. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.